Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Tuned in to the voice of the American Redoubt. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, your host, and I hope you guys had a blessed week. This is going to be a kind of a different, unique show tonight because of something that I wanted to present to you or lay at your feet. I'm asking for prayer. I'm putting out a prayer request. All prayer warriors, attention. We are going through, there is some intense spiritual warfare going on that I can't really go into any details about, but I will say this, within our family in the Schmidt household, there is some, as I said, very intense spiritual warfare going on. We need your prayers. And, I am going to be tending to something. The other thing is that, man, there's just so much going on in people's lives. It's a storm out there, but there's one friend in particular who is going through some very intense marriage issues. And so I'm pre-recording this. I'm going to have this available because I want to make myself available this evening. And so I just want to ask you guys to support us in prayer that way. If that's the only support you can give this week, please remember that. That's about all I can say right now. But what I am going to do is I'm going to share with you from God and Country, very inspirational, encouraging message from State Representative Matt Shea from God and Country. I can't do a show tonight, but this stuff going on is just it's derailing, it's overwhelming, I'm gonna do my level best to always be there for you guys each week to have something presentable that's hopefully informational, that's encouraging, uplifting, and get you focused in the battle that's raging right now for liberty, for freedom, for our families, for the marriages, for our communities, our schools, for our children, for the minds of our children. There's a lot going on, isn't there? Okay, so that's what's going to be going on. And I'm going to turn everything over to Matt Shea with a special presentation. Then next week, we are going to get back on our regularly scheduled programming with our wonderful sponsors that help offset the costs of doing Radio Free Redoubt. And all that's going to be in place. But tonight, I just need to throw this together to have something available for you guys tonight and for this week, for those of you waking up in the morning for your commute. But there is something I want to share with you. I love getting listener letters, and I want to share something with you and respond. I think this is deserving of a response, and just in case anybody else is feeling the same way. So this is what I just received a little while ago. The subject line was, "Your comments during a broadcast message. Sorry to say, but I became a little miffed at you and your program the other day. During your podcast, you were promoting a program and talking about a CD, and it might cost $20. You also mentioned that people were asking about the free apps and programs, but what I heard was that they're saying, suck it up and pay the $20. And somebody on social media, they're like, oh, this thing costs $20. All these things cost money, and this is ridiculous. Well, I responded and said, hey, support these ministries. You know, it's $20. Come on. Well, he's saying what I'm saying is, you know, suck it up. Let me continue reading. Anyway, I still listen to and respect your show and most of the points of view that came across. However, yours, as well as most other programs like this, are vocal billboards that typically promote higher end items that the average listener cannot nor will be able to afford ever. Even the businesses that advertise on your site, take the real estate business for instance. Have you ever browsed their site? They are not pandering to the average Joe. However, average Joe is your biggest listener. My message is to take a moment to remember that most of your listeners probably average less than $100 a month total that they can apply to PrEPs. And your program and others like it are making a difference and keeping people focused on the changing times. I have been very fortunate in my life to have been able to accumulate the PrEPs that I have. I owe that success to God. And programs like yours, as well as fictional and non-fictional books that provide valuable advice and information. We could all be on the street begging for handouts in the blink of an eye. We must remember that. Amen to that. Your message and your tone that day felt belittling. Don't make people feel that way, please. Thank you. All right. First of all, thank you for giving enough grace to continue listening and sticking it out with us. When I get comments from listeners, I never hear from leftists. I've never got a complaint from a communist, leftist, liberal, whatever, saying during the Bundy Ranch situation, we were covering that. I got one comment that said, you people are crazy. I'm like, okay, that was profound. Thank you for your input. Let's move along. But that's it. The negative comments that I get usually are from conservative patriots. Let me say something. I've been doing this for 6 years. And one thing that became very clear right up front, every time I step up to the microphone, I take a huge risk. All right. I understand that people can sit back and all of the content that I cover, they can analyze every word and key in on that one thing. Conservatives and other patriots will pick that one thing out and focus in on, I can't listen to you anymore. You said that one thing and okay, well, I guess we all have our line in the sand, but I'm asking for some grace here. I've stuck my foot in my mouth before over the years and said stuff and I went, oh my goodness. I didn't mean to say it that way or it came across, whatever. Have some grace. Okay. We're all on the same side. We're all friends. We can have differences, but we're all patriots and we're fighting for liberty, right? And you know what? I don't mind a spirited debate. If somebody says, I disagree with your take on this or that thing. Like, well, you know what? We'll get a hold of you. We'll get on Skype and, we'll hammer some of this stuff out. My point of view is not the only point of view that there is, but I do pray for wisdom, for humility, and I have a background, a unique background that allows me to have some type of authority when it comes to addressing some topics. But I ask for and I humbly accept accountability and constructive feedback to help us if it's really truly with the intent of helping us and making us more effective. And I think that's what this listener was trying to say. But first of all, let's break this down. The $20 CD, all right, I wasn't promoting a program. I just mentioned it from a list of resources as an example, of this list that Representative Matt Shea referenced when we were asked about available tools to help educate our youth and of course adults alike. And this list was made into a posting, which is on RadioFreeRedoubt.com right now, the Patriot Education Resources. It includes both free resources, such as the Constitution and the Heritage courses that are free of charge from the excellent Hillsdale College. They make those available for free, certificate, when you go through the course, right there online. And the list also includes resources that cost money. Now, I chose a $20 DVD just as an example, which a ton of work has gone into producing, and the funds support a ministry or an organization that brings value and education for the patriot, conservative, Christian community. Now, as for our listeners, yes, the largest percentage are average Joes, just like me. I make less than most of you. I make less, way less, than the median income for where I live. Because for me, it's not about the money. Oh, I'd love to be wealthy, of course. I could dream of all kinds of stuff. But you know what? For me, this is a mission. It's a calling to me. I could not afford some of the services of some of our advertisers, such as relocation, real estate company, selling a large fancy retreat property, for example. But there's an 80-20 rule that's kind of universal. Many of you have probably heard this term, the 80-20 rule. 80% of our listeners we could estimate safely, are average Joes. But let's talk about the 20% who are not first. In my estimation, that 20% is about evenly divided in half. Half of them have done very well for themselves financially. They can afford the properties that one of our real estate advertisers are selling. The other half fall below the means of the average Joe. But they're encouraged, informed, and inspired by our message each week. They're doing the best they can with what they have financially, just like we do in the Schmidt household. And it's not always easy. And sometimes I can't afford a $20 DVD about the Constitution. Sometimes we can. But I have enough life experience to know that when it comes to the average Joe, it's not about lacking the means. It's about priorities. You show me someone who can't afford a $20 DVD about our American heritage, and I'll show you probably 80% of them have toys in the garage, 20,000 rounds of ammunition, 10 AR-15s, or cable TV that's decaying their family's souls, or four-wheelers and other toys in the garage, or restaurant receipts because they eat out 3, 4, 5 times per month or per week. It's about priorities for most people. And for others, it's an excuse. Oh, 20 bucks, no thank you, when they can afford it. It's just not what they want to spend $20 on. And if somebody really, truly, truly cannot afford it, and you have this burning desire to learn about your education, you would love to have this American Heritage DVD that's $20, and you can't afford it, and you want it so badly, it's burning within you. And let me offer some solutions. First of all, a small group, church home group, a group of friends, or your community preparedness group could all pitch in a couple bucks and buy that American Heritage DV and take turns passing it around, or have a Constitution study night once a month and watch it together. Number two, YouTube is your friend. There is so much free documentary, educational, and other material on YouTube. There is a semester college course level of information and education on anything you could ever be curious about learning. For free. Number three, that list of Patriot education resources also includes free resources. Number four, most public libraries are very responsive to public requests for materials, especially educational and documentary type of learning materials, if they don't already have it. If several of you and your friends contact them, they're very responsive. Number five, and finally, a Radio Free Readout Challenge. Okay? If this is you, I really would love to have that, but it's just beyond my financial means. If anyone in the listening audience truly has that burning desire to have one of those educational materials on that list that Representative Matt Shea provided and that we've added to in that list, and you truly cannot afford it, you email me at johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com and I will buy it for you and ship it to you. If that's all that's keeping you from acquiring some valuable resource to learn about the Constitution or the history or your heritage. If I can't afford it at the time, I'll put the call out to the listening audience and we'll raise the resources and I'll make the purchase and have it on its way to you in hours. On one condition, you have to actually use or read or watch the materials, and you have to duplicate the knowledge you've learned by passing those materials on to another patriot starving for education on the subject. As for our advertisers, they know not everyone can afford all their services. But I know, and they know, there is someone out there who can, and who is looking for them, and who is grateful for them, waving their hand saying, "We have this service here." We don't choose our advertisers. They choose us. And most all of our advertisers fully support the mission and the message of Radio Free Readout. And they've said, "We love what you're doing. We want to support you, even if it doesn't pay off. If the income from the advertising that we spend doesn't outweigh the cost of advertising, we still want to help make it possible and help cover some of the costs so Radio Free Readout can keep doing what it's doing and get the message out." We also don't have a limit on how many advertisers we can have. If there's a business or service out there that falls within the affordable small purchase category that the average Joe or even below average Joe can afford, and you want to support Radio Free Readout and get your product out there, contact me, John Jacob at RadioFreeReadout.com. We can always use the support because we keep growing and so do the associated costs. Let me say this. I never intend to make people feel belittled, at least not God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots in the listening audience. I have no problem belittling the enemies of Americanism or values and our heritage. I don't mean the deceived. I mean the deceivers. Those who are on a deliberate mission to destroy us, our country, and our way of life. Those are the people I want to equip the patriots with courage and education to stand against. My people pass, the scripture says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Whether you can afford it or you can't, there's something for everyone and there's no reason not to take advantage of it. There are only excuses. Sometimes people confuse conviction with belittlement too. One person out there might say, that made me feel belittled. Well, the next guy hearing the same message says, you know what? I did find myself complaining about a DVD about our heritage costing $20, but JJ's got a point. I can't afford it. I can. And we need to invest in our food. For liberty, that's a small price to pay. It's an investment. So don't confuse conviction with belittlement. Sometimes we all, including me, need to be convicted on something to say, yeah, you're right. You're right. Okay? And I say, if you really can't afford it, then, well, first, I pray the Lord prospers you because you're in a place that I've been before and I can relate. But hopefully, we've encouraged you with some solutions and some options if you can't afford it, and that you're not discouraged or belittled, but you can go forth encouraged and have those resources available to educate yourself and others. All right. I'm going to now turn this over to Representative Matt Shea, who gave a great, great presentation. He and Damon Friedman, which you all heard last week, and then my presentation, the three of us, we hit it off well. We were on the same track on so many different things. There's a lot of overlap in our messages, and I think that was probably for a reason. There's some things that we need to hear as patriots. And Representative Matt Shea, he's a warrior. He's a spiritual warrior. He's also a veteran, a prior warrior of foreign war. And so now he's still continuing to serve as a public servant. He does a great job. So I hope you're encouraged by this. Enjoy it. And you guys have a blessed week. Please keep the prayers coming. The spiritual warfare is heavy. And we really need you guys out there. And hey, if you can afford it, we can always use the help with the actual physical costs as well. You guys that are sending in $5 or $10 or $20 or $50 a month or whatever, all that's adding up. And we're barely making it, but we are, by the grace of God, we're making it. So it's all possible because of you guys. So thank you for that, who are in a position to be able to do that. And if you're not in a position to do that, then we ask for your prayers. So thank you for your support, however you're able to deliver that. All right, guys, this is John Jacob Schmidt, and this is the voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.
You're listening to a special presentation featuring John Jacob Schmidt, brought to you exclusively by Radio Free Redoubt.
Faster than a legislator getting out of Olympia? This guy today, okay? Seriously, I drove 7 straight hours to get here. And I really don't like the traffic over there. It was awful. It was awful. So they're voting on $7 billion worth of tax increases right now. I figured my time would be better spent in marble. Well, I got a lot to talk about tonight, and some stuff I have not, the Lord didn't want me to talk about until this year. So you get to hear something I've been kind of holding in for a long, long time. And I want to start by, you know, saying again, you know, I always say our hope is not in man, our hope is in Jesus Christ, and we have to start there, but I want to start with something a little bit different today. Okay? If we're not walking in the Spirit, I'm going to say that again. If we are not walking in the Spirit, we're only getting stuff half right. Okay? It says walk and worship in the Spirit and the truth. A lot of us have been walking in the truth for a long, long time. But this year, it really all of a sudden hit me that we are missing the Spirit too. In a lot of our Christian brothers and sisters and just all over America. And you know, honestly, I was kind of wondering why sometimes we would get victory and sometimes we wouldn't. I believe the missing piece was the Spirit. So I want to talk tonight about walking in the truth and the Spirit. I want to talk about something I call neo-tribalism, which I'll get to. It sounds kind of, wow, what is neo-tribalism? That's weird. No, it's not. It's something that's been on my heart too. And I want to go through in detail what I'm talking about tonight. I want to teach you about some things that I've learned over the last couple of years and share those things with you because the Lord has put that on my heart. Now, in years past, like I said, I've spoken to you about the truth. And again, I think the missing part is the Spirit because I walk around and I see Christians walking around looking defeated. Walking around not in victory, but walking around like they get this big thing on their backs and they're just, do you notice I'm a Christian? What is that? We're supposed to be walking in victory. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. He's the Lord of the universe. We're supposed to be walking in victory. Walking everywhere we go, victorious, with our heads held high, with our chest out. Speaking truth in love, boldly, fearlessly, not worrying about what anybody else is going to say. Why are we doing that? Why are we doing that? John 4:24 and 2 Thessalonians 2:13 talk about this if you want to read about it later. But I've always talked about leadership isn't worried about what other people think. It's not worried about credibility. It's worried about leading. And all of us as Christians are leaders. And our ineffectiveness really is born out of fear. Because we're not walking victorious. You know, when I walk into Olympia, I got to tell you something. It is a dark place sometimes. You literally can, you walk in there, you can physically feel the darkness. You cross over the mountains, actually, you can physically feel the darkness. My West Side brothers don't like me saying that, but it's true. You can physically feel it. You walk into the Capitol, and it's like you're walking into a place that is unholy. And in some respects, that's actually pretty accurate, I think. But if I walked in there, like most Christians do, just kind of, I'm a Christian walking into the darkness. You know, that's not victory. If Jesus Christ paid the price on the cross for us, I should be walking in, all right, which one of you is next? Right? Amen. And when that one's done, which one of you is next? Until the whole place is cleaned out. That is what Christians should be doing everywhere. And I really want to impress this upon you tonight because it's, you know, we say kind of easily 300 times in Scripture it says, do not fear. But what does that mean? If you've been a warrior on the battlefield, I'll tell you right now, anybody that says they weren't scared is lying to you. But it's not being scared, it's taking the step forward even though you are because you trust in Jesus Christ. Amen. And you stand up straight and you walk in and you're not afraid to confront things. You know, I tell you right now, I think what we have done in America is we have let the little battles go by us. We haven't paid attention to them. The little things, when you're talking to somebody and they use a word choice, it's not right. Just that little battle. When we refer to government as them instead of it. You know, government's a car. It's like a car. It's just a tool. Now, it has power, but the power comes from God. the people that are in the driver's seat are what's supposed to be controlling government. So when we refer to government as them, that's one of those little battles we just kind of let go by. And we have changed dramatically the way we view how we fight. Here's an example. If I say, I can't believe government just took away a bunch of land down in the central part of the United States. Or if I say, agent so-and-so, using government wrongly in the BLM, took away land in the center of the country. You see the difference? We've got to change the way we think. We've got to change the way we approach fighting. And if we believe that God is sovereign, and we always say, oh, we trust Him, we have it on our money, because that's how much we have to see it. If we really believe that, why aren't we acting like it? Why aren't we acting like it? Our culture is corrupt because we allow it to be. And I got to tell you something, the Holy Spirit cannot work through us if we're not there. That's one of those mysteries I probably want to ask after I'm done worshiping 10,000 years. Maybe I'll get a chance to ask the question in heaven. I don't know. But it's one of those mysteries that God chose us as vessels to work through. But we've got to be there. We actually have to be there. And I'm not talking about the halls of government. I'm talking about everyday life. I'm talking about in our businesses, in our churches. I'm talking about in our neighborhoods, in our social clubs. I'm talking about all those different things. That is where we need to allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. And I got to tell you something. We don't have a lot of time on this earth. And if you don't realize that, I mean, the last 3 weeks, at least for me, have been fairly tumultuous. And there's one person in the crowd it's been really tumultuous for. It can end like that. And then we're standing before Jesus and He's going to ask us, what'd you do with your time? What'd you do? In every area of your life, what did you do? The fact of the matter is we need to expand the kingdom of Jesus Christ in every single area of our lives. John Winthrop, May 19th, 1643, in the Articles of Confederation of the United Colonies. I want to say that again. In 1643, they actually had a confederation of colonies. Okay? I want to read the first paragraph of this, because some people say, well, what's the purpose of government, or what did they think the purpose of government is? Whereas we all come into these parts of America with one and the same end and aim. Namely, to advance the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, to enjoy the liberties of the gospel in purity with peace. Amen. Amen? Amen? I really wish that would be echoed in the halls of Washington, D.C. But somewhere along the line in the 1820s, as I was educated on a few weeks ago, we separated our personal lives from every other area of our life. So we show up at church on Sunday, worship, we go home, and then act like whenever we're at church on Sunday. Instead of taking the gospel of Jesus Christ outside the four walls of the church to every area of our lives. And I got to tell you something, if we don't do that, we'll end up in a very bad place. Office of Strategic Services, which is the precursor to the CIA, they did a study after World War II, and here was the aim of the study. How is it possible that in an ostensibly Christian country that the Holocaust could have happened? So you have literally an intelligence analysis of why it could have happened in a Christian country. And you know what they came to the conclusion? They came to the conclusion that the reason the Holocaust happened in Germany, and that tyrannical government was allowed to run roughshod over Europe, was because Christians were successfully prevented from living their Christianity beyond the four walls of the church. And in many cases, this is the key part, in many cases, the Christians did it voluntarily. They did not live their Christianity beyond the four walls of the church. That's why this is so important. I've talked about this. Leadership is not about the ability to compromise. It's about the ability not to. Some people laugh at that. They say, how is that possible? Jesus did it. I mean, I didn't make this up. I'm just reporting the facts. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in the same period, said, silence in the face of evil is evil itself. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak, not to act is to act. Now, you've heard that quote before, but I have a challenge for you, because he had this same challenge. Did you know they separated the church in Germany between the church and the confessing church? The confessing church. What did that mean? That means they went out everywhere they could, and they confessed the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ in every area of their lives, and not just in an era where it was simple and easy to do. They did it in an era where if they did it, they could get killed. Or their family could get killed, which is what some people hide behind. Or their children. Or they would lose their livelihood and their business. How many times have I heard in politics, I can't get involved, Matt. I can't get involved. I really support you. Believe me, I'm right there with you. I can't get involved because, you know, some people might get upset and not go to my business. And you know what that's like? That's like the guy in the foxhole who pokes his head up as you charge out of the foxhole forward and goes, you're doing a great job. Don't be that guy. So what do I mean with every area? Again, our homes, our families, our businesses, our churches, our social clubs, politics, all of those things are mission fields. All of those things are mission fields. Christ himself told us, preach the gospel to all creation. Make disciples of all nations, teaching people how to obey his commands. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, soul, and spirit. In the Greek, the word pasa means all. And then love your neighbor too. And by the way, you know, Jesus had to deal with lawyers because the lawyer said, okay, Jesus, who's my neighbor, right? Define neighbor. It was all, okay? And he told the story of the Good Samaritan to make the point. So if we do that, though, if we expand the kingdom of Jesus Christ into every area of our lives, we are literally putting ourselves on the front line of a very hot war. And yes, there is a dramatic spiritual war going on. If you don't believe that, please come talk to me afterwards. I would love to talk to you about it because there really is. We just had it with the printer. You know? And we walked in victory, didn't we? We walked in victory. But there's also a manifestation in the physical realm of what's happening in the spiritual realm. And I think we missed that part of it too. And so Sun Tzu says, and if you remember these three things, especially the young people that are listening, remember these three things for the rest of your lives when you analyze the situation, you will be victorious in the physical realm too. Okay? Sun Tzu said, know your enemy, know yourself, and know the terrain. Now those are good truths that are also in the Bible. So first, we must clearly identify our enemies. And I want to go through this very quickly. So we know that one of our enemies that's out there are bureaucrats. They're the heart of the corrupt system. Politicians come and go. Bureaucrats are forever, right? Or at least until the civil service laws say they're not. Right? And, you know, people say, oh, we got to get term limits on the politicians. People say, what do you think about term limits, Matt? I say, you're missing the point. We need term limits on bureaucrats. Communists, that's the second enemy, a subversive element that is intentionally out there training to destroy this country. And if you don't think they are, just look up Industrial Areas Foundation and find out about what that is doing. Look, I have a map, and I'm going to be showing it tomorrow as part of my presentation on the 51st state, that shows all of the communist groups in the United States of America on a map. It's startling. Okay? And I do include Indivisible as a communist organization because they have direct ties to the Communist Party USA. But I want to share a story on that very quickly. So in Ukraine, I went to Ukraine to Kharkiv, which is the second largest city in Ukraine. They had this gigantic square that was out there. And when I say gigantic, I mean it's probably four times the size of this field here in the barn. Okay? And they had this gigantic statue of Vladimir Lenin in one corner with his hand outstretched. That's how he did it. You know, that's how he's always pictured. So when everything broke out in the Crimea, the local churches came down and they tore that statue down. And this is like a four-story statue, okay? And in its place, they put a cross. And then they came down every morning and prayed for the safety of Kharkiv. And you know what happened to Kharkiv? Nothing. It was safe. And all the church were like, hey, we prayed. That's what happens. They walked in victory. Didn't matter that the Russian army was literally an hour away. No, didn't matter. They walked in victory. Now contrast that with downtown Seattle and Fremont. They're taking down the crosses and they put up a statue of Vladimir Lenin. For real. You can actually see it. Arm outstretched. And you know where the statue's from? The former Soviet Union, because they're getting rid of them all. Now, what a picture that is. Spokane, Washington, we did an expose on a reporter down there by the name of Sean Vessel of the Socialist Review. They literally have earned the name now. There was an organization called Peace Justice Action League of Spokane, and they brought in as their keynote speaker a leader of the Communist Party USA. And one of the supporters of the event was Sean Vestal, a very well-known reporter in Spokane, Washington. Why do I name names like that? Because it's in our backyard. They came to our backyard. How many of you knew that? And then he tried to say, oh, I didn't support him. We had screenshotted the agenda, and we'd screenshotted the donor list and put a big red arrow. That sure looks like you. That he couldn't say anything. It's in our own backyard. Third enemy that I want to identify, the Muslim Brotherhood. I really hope Trump designates them officially a terrorist organization inside the United States of America. I really do. Because they are. Who owns the mosque in Spokane Valley, Washington? Anyone want to guess? Okay. It's in our own backyard. It's in our own backyard. They're here. And some people say, you're fear-mongering. No, I'm not. I've seen the intelligence reports. Guys that are still in probably can verify that. Then you have the part that nobody wants to talk about. They want to replace Christianity with Sharia law. You know? Something that's completely antithetical to anything that we believe in. Everything that we believe in. Fourth enemy, the fifth column. I want you to understand when I asked the Christians that had survived in the Soviet Union, former Soviet Union, in 1963 the church split. You had the confessing church, and then you had the church that was aligned with the state. And you know what happened to them? And they say this. They say they were more persecuted by people in the church than they were by all the other enemies combined. They literally celebrate the anniversary of splitting in 1963. They literally celebrate the anniversary because it was that big a deal. We need to recognize that there are people inside the Christian church, call themselves Christians, who aren't. Okay? They aren't. Now, it's not like the Lord didn't leave us with an instruction manual for that, the Bible, to deal with it. What are the fruits of the Spirit? And one of the things that I think that we're being very fearful of is confronting Christians who are not Christians. Going into, literally, going up to them, doing it the right way according to Matthew 18, but confronting them. I've seen Jezebel spirits in Olympia, people that say they're Christians. I've seen wormwood spirits. I've seen controlling spirits. I've seen all kinds of stuff in Olympia. And all of them claim Christianity. If we don't clean up our own house first, we're going to be in a world of hurt. And I would remind you of Ezekiel 9, where they have the temple. And God literally anoints the head of the people that are His. And then He sends an angel out to kill everyone else in the city. And where did He start? At the temple. At the temple. We got to clean up our own yard. Second, we need to know ourselves. We worship the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, whose son is Jesus the Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Well, why don't we know some of His names? Like Yahweh Tsidkenu, like Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord our righteousness, the Lord of the armies. People see that in the Bible. Sometimes it says hosts. They're like, oh, it's a host, you know. They had him over for dinner or something. It's the Lord of the armies. Like the captain standing in the front of the army with his sword raised on a horse. That's what we're talking about. That's who our God is. He's also the Lord our righteousness. He's not some obscure moon god from some little-known tribe in Arabia. He's not some multi-headed, multi-armed deity that's created by the imaginations of men. He's not some fat guy who's wise and needs his belly rubbed. It's the Lord our righteousness, the Lord of the armies. Hallelujah! The Lord that loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die for us on a cross in a horrific way. And by the way, the Shroud of Turin project is coming to the Tri-Cities later in July. And I interviewed the guy that's the head of the project that's organizing it. And he was telling me all of the things that Christ went through. And they found blood on the Shroud of Turin. They tested it, and it was high in levels of bilirubin. What does that mean? It means your liver produces that when you're nearly beaten to death. So if that indeed is the actual burial shroud of Christ, I mean, think about that. You had the God of the universe who literally emptied Himself, came down to earth, and allowed Himself to be beaten by people that were so far less than Him because He loved us that much. That's the God that we worship. That's the God that we love. That's the God that we've given our lives to. And if we worship the God whose Son is Jesus Christ, who didn't ask us to work our way to heaven, but who sent, again, His Son to die for us on the cross, greater love hath no man than this, then why are we not fighting for that culture and those values and that tradition and that love? Why are we not fighting for it? When I get kind of, and sometimes I do, I get scared in the legislature. I think of that. I think of that because that's what gives me courage. Focusing on Him. Our culture, our language, our customs, our tradition, our heritage, our stories, our scriptures, our constitution, and religion comprise the good ways, the ancient paths that are said about in Jeremiah 6:16. And it says, return to the old ways. And I think we miss part of this, though. Those old ways and liberty were fought for, were bled for, people died for years and years and years, centuries, to pass it down to us today sitting in Marble, Washington. Man, is that not, I mean, that encourages me, but at the same time, I feel like I haven't given it enough reverence.
That's the Christianity in America I love. How about you? It's founded in truth, and it's tempered by experience and people that walk in the Spirit. The fight, I think a lot of people think, is to change things. The fight isn't to change things. The fight is to preserve those precious things that we want to pass on to the next generation. The fight is to preserve that wisdom to pass on to the next generation. That's who we are. That's what we are. That's what we will be. So when we face our enemies in righteousness, the Lord our righteousness, the Lord of the armies goes before us. And as in Nehemiah 4:14, he says, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons and your daughters and your wives and your homes." Know your enemy, know yourself, know the terrain on which you fight. So what's the terrain? Well, that's the time in which we live, the economic, the spiritual climate. You know, the sons of Issachar talks about the terrain. They were the people that knew the signs of the times. So what time are we in? There's a book, it's 26 pages. If you have not read it or heard of it, I want you to do it. It's called The Fate of Empires by Sir John Glubb. The Fate of Empires by Sir John Glubb. And in that very short book, what he does is he outlines what he believes objectively is the history of empires from recorded history to now. And he breaks them down, he says, to about 250-year increments. So in other words, an empire lasts 250 years or 10 generations. It first starts with the age of pioneers, which is the age of action. So for us, that would have been, you know, sending forth Lewis and Clark after the founding era, expanding into the West. Then there's the age of conquest, which is an age of both military and religious action, which we saw in the 1820s all the way up, really, honestly, to the 1880s. Then there's the age of commerce, which is the age of action and business. Then there's the age of affluence, which is marked, and this is key, there's a turning point. It's marked from selflessness to a turn toward accumulation of wealth and selfishness. If you want to diagnose what's wrong with America, that's it in one word, selfishness. Then you have the age of intellect. That's the age of the accumulation of knowledge. Here's how many of you have heard this. Go to college so you can learn, so you can get a good job. That's what it marks it. And this, by the way, this work was written before the modern era, our modern era. Here's the other part that's interesting. It's called the Age of Decadence. And he believed that that was the last stage in an empire. I want to read some of the things he identified to mark the Age of Decadence. Manliness is shunned. Normalcy bias is institutionalized. Defensiveness pervades the culture. Now, I want to challenge, we got to be careful when we build a wall, okay? Because that is an attitude of defensiveness. And I will tell you, George Patton actually said that bunkers and walls were monuments to defeat. It was one of his quotes. We need to be careful with how we think about, again, our mindset. Are we on the offense or are we on the defense? It's also marked by pessimism, marked by materialism, which I think we all see every day. Marked by frivolity. What is frivolity? That means eat and drink for tomorrow we die, right? I need to go relax from my relaxation, right? Right? I just went on vacation. I'm tired. I need to relax, right? This one is interesting. It's also marked by an influx of foreigners. Also marked by the welfare state. And lastly, and most importantly, marked by a weakening of religion. Now, this was a study throughout all of history that he came to this. What is the 250th year of America's existence? 2025. We are in that period. There was another book written called The Fourth Turning by Strauss and Howe. And the Fourth Turning studied generations. So whereas Glubb studied the Age of Empires, Strauss and Howe studied the cycle of generations. And they basically broke it down into four. The first was kind of the high, where institutions were strong. Then there was the awakening, where institutions were attacked. Now, again, going from a generational period of 20 to 25 years, when did institutions in America begin to be attacked? The 1960s, right? Then there was the unraveling, where institutions increasingly became weaker and weaker and weaker, even if they didn't admit it. And then you had the crisis, where the institutions that were old are destroyed and new institutions are rebuilt. World War II was the last crisis, according to Strauss and Howe, and they put the next crisis at 2025. There was another very interesting individual named Yuri Bezmenov, who was a former KGB officer, defected to the United States of America, and changed his name to Thomas Schumann. He did a series of interviews where he laid out something called the four stages of subversion. This is communist subversion. He identified the first stage as demoralization, and that usually took 15 to 25 years. Sometimes it took a lot longer. He identified the start of that in the 1960s in America. Okay? Then comes the period of destabilization, typically a 2 to 5 year period. I would submit to you, if you haven't already seen it, that we are now beginning a period of destabilization in America. When you have police officers that are hunted down, and then you have politicians who are intentionally shot, and by the way, 30 incidents of violence or threats against politicians, Republicans, I will be specific, GOP politicians in Congress just since May. When you reach that stage, you're going into the period of destabilization. Crisis and collapse then takes, that's the next stage, takes about 2 weeks to 2 months. So the preparatory stages are for a very long period of time. So again, if we look at 5 years out from now, you're talking about 2023 or so, right? So understand where we're at. Then you have the stages of collapse by Dmitry Orlov. And these are all authors that write independently of each other. That's why I'm choosing them. Stage one is the financial collapse. That's where faith in business as usual is lost. Has that happened in America? I think it has, arguably. Stage two is the commercial collapse, that faith that the market shall provide is lost. Has that happened in America? I think it's probably in the middle of it, right? Stage three is political collapse. Faith that the government will take care of you is lost. Now, we haven't reached that one yet. But I'll tell you what, that budget that was just passed over in Olympia, that sure set the stage for, you said you were going to take care of me. Stage four, social collapse. Faith that people will take care of you is lost. That's your immediate neighborhood, okay? And then stage five, cultural collapse. Faith in the goodness of humanity is lost. Why did I tell you all that? It's a little tedious. Because if you do just an objective analysis, and I challenge you to go home and do it, we are in the window of a crisis coming. Big time. Big time. But there is something that's very hopeful about that. Notice how at the end of those crises is always the opportunity to rebuild based on the values, traditions, heritage, religion, and everything good that was in the past. That's what happens. And the young people that are out there today, your generation is going to do that. Our generation is going to give you some advice and probably help as much as we possibly can. But your generation is going to do that. Your generation, not mine, not Pastor Barry's, your generation. Are you ready for that? If we know our enemy, we know who we are, if we know the terrain, we can both fight and build. I love the line in Braveheart, our job isn't to win, our job is to fight, right? Leave the results to God. And by the way, we've already won. That's why we're leaving the results to Him. He already did it.
Amen.
We can also still build the right thing for the right time. If you remember God in everything in your lives, if we remember God in everything in our lives, if we walk in the Spirit and truth, we will be victorious. I've walked on the street sometimes and I'm sick and tired of seeing and hearing defeat in the eyes of my fellow countrymen and fellow Christians. I'm tired of it. Are you tired of it?
Yes.
I am. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit, walk in the Holy Spirit. That's a great unifier of Christians. If our success comes, it's because we work together and we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. It won't be because we were afraid of losing, we're walking in defeat, but instead we're expanding the kingdom of Jesus Christ in every area of our lives. That is the spirit of liberty. That's what Galatians 5 means when it says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You, my brothers, were called to be free." Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Our own state constitution actually enshrines this duty. Did you know that? We actually have it in our own state constitution. Article 1, Section 32 obligates every citizen of Washington to do this. Quote, "A frequent recurrence to fundamental principles is essential to the security of individual right and perpetuity of free government." End quote. So we got it in the Bible. We got it in our state constitution. Implementing freedom starts with us, begins with us. And like I just said, I think the Constitution is a great unifier. And I don't need a Harvard professor, a black robe philosopher king sitting behind a bench to tell me what the Constitution means, right? That's the whole point. We have a written Constitution. It can't evolve. That's garbage. Otherwise, why did we even put it in writing? I think we need to get away from the status quo. The status quo is the Hegelian dialectic, okay? And here's what it sounds like. Here's what it sounds like in Olympia, okay? We are really, really scared of an initiative on paid family leave or minimum wage or whatever, pick your topic. We're really scared of an initiative, so we got to compromise so we get something less bad. And they say they're going to spend $3 million on the initiative. So I said, listen, can I lay this out for you visually? They have five strategic objectives that they want to achieve. They have $3 million earmarked to the first strategic objective. You compromise on that one, they don't spend any of the money, they're going to move the money to the second one. What do you think you're doing? Fight them then. Don't give one single inch. Our vision is a restored, God-honoring constitutional republic. I want you to imagine a country where we promote an agenda of freedom instead of fear and envy, where we fear God more than government, where government is the exception, not the rule, where the right to bear arms is the rule and not the exception, where property is a right, not something to be regulated out of existence, and where life is protected into existence. Where the states trump the federal government in most issues, the sheriff trumps them both, and the Constitution trumps them all. And God reigns supreme through each one of us.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow! No king but Jesus. If we share the same vision, we see things the same way. We cannot any longer have a different vision for our country. Now, there are some people that will have a different vision. And you know what? They've just self-identified as somebody that is an enemy.
That's right.
Now, some people say that's pretty harsh, Matt. I'm telling you, we are in a fight for the survival of our values and everything we hold dear. We have to use those terms. It is that dire.
Right.
Our mission, I've talked about. I want to talk about some strategies and then I want to end. We need to think and visualize generationally. So instead of thinking that our generation is going to do everything, You do what you can do, pass it on to the next generation so they can do it too. Think and visualize generationally. I think we also need to build coalitions around issues of principle. So there's going to be some people that we disagree with on other things, but we can agree with them on one thing. We need to find those people and move forward with them. We also need to build our tribe right here, and this is where I get to neo-tribalism. But first I want to talk about Wolverine leadership. Some of you have heard me tell this, but I love it. We have a lot to learn from Wolverines. They're a phenomenal animal. They've been studied, and they teach us a lot about leadership. Okay? Wolverines run 3 miles an hour. Uphill, downhill, in mud, in snow, on dry land, in the rain, scorching temperatures, it's 3 miles an hour. In fact, they tracked a wolverine going up 4,500 vertical feet, 3 miles an hour. That was a tired wolverine, I would presume. But that's a message to us. That's what we're supposed to be as Christians. We're supposed to be going at 3 miles an hour every day, expanding the kingdom of Jesus Christ in every area of our lives at 3 miles an hour. So we're not getting, oh, I'm running into the issue, I'm going to help out on this, and then go home like nothing happened. And you've seen it after Trump got elected with some people who are like, hey, Trump's got it. We don't got to do anything. He can't do it all by himself. Look what's happening to him in Washington, D.C. right now. He's getting undermined at every turn. Second thing wolverines do is really cool. Wolverines in the wintertime will literally dig down 12 feet in an avalanche to get the carcass of an animal so they have something to eat. Okay? They actually are known as the bone cruncher in some other languages because that's what they do. They eat bones in the wintertime. They will dig down 12 feet to get that carcass to survive. Are we that self-reliant? I think it's a great lesson. Third thing wolverines do, and this is a phenomenal thing that the wolverine dad does. A wolverine dad will spend exactly the same amount of time with the pups. Exactly. I mean, it's like they have an internal clock. They've studied this. They will spend exactly the same amount of time with each pup. So the question is, who are you mentoring? Young people, you're supposed to be mentoring too, right? You've got younger brothers and sisters, although don't tell them you're mentoring them or they're probably shut down, right? Don't say that. Mentor them. But spend the same amount of time with those people you're discipling. What a great picture. And then the last thing, wolverines, this is where I want to spend a lot of time on. Wolverines are really playful animals. They will play fetch. You can actually train them to play fetch. I've seen the videos. It's really cool. They run to play fetch, and they're rolling around and all that kind of stuff. But, man, if you attack their family, they will rip your face off. Are we that ferocious when somebody is attacking our families, our tribe? Unalienable rights can only be lost two ways, through death or acquiescence. Either we die because we don't need them anymore, or we give them up. Are we going to ferociously defend those things? I read a book earlier this year that I want to share a little bit with you. It's about building tribes and what that means. And he uses the terms kith, kin, and frith. And you're like, what is that? That is actually Old Norse. Kith is kind of your immediate circle of friends. Kin is obviously your family. And frith is the trust that you and the bonds you build between those other two. I'm a huge proponent of the 51st state. I think God has ordained some boundaries for us. And tomorrow you'll find out about all of the things the Lord has given us in this particular area of the 51st state and also the readout. I think he's ordained the area. I do. There's been prophecies on it, for goodness sakes, over 100 years. But I don't think that the 51st state can happen unless this happens. That we identify our kin and our kith, and we start building frith. All right? I don't think it can happen unless we identify those 10, 20 people around us and we start making disciples and we start sharing and we start doing things together. And I will tell you, the one great discerner of people that are good in Olympia is, do they do manual labor with somebody else? Seriously. It is a great way to bond. If you go out and you shoot guns with somebody else, if you go out, help them dig a trench, go out, help them cut firewood. I love cutting firewood. Now, I always say that people come up and say, oh, come cut at my house then, right? You know, I love cutting firewood, but that's how you build those relationships. Pick something you can do like that, a little thing, to build that trust and that bond. It's amazing. For those that have been in combat, for those that have been overseas, those bonds that you make with men in battle, your brothers in arms, they never go away. They never go away. And there's a reason for that. If we did that with our family, if we did that with our immediate circle of friends, our kith, imagine America. Because that's what America used to be. So let me talk about one interesting part of this. Today, small groups of Americans, we can be connected by shared values and shared beliefs and culture and everything and tradition, but we're connected by technology. We don't necessarily have to be in the same place. That's a fairly interesting development. But I want to ask a few questions, because I think that distance of technology has honestly eroded our ability to have frith. So I want to ask a question, and you guys will probably laugh at a couple of these. Are you the person, or do you know a person, that could call you in the middle of the night and say, Barry, I need you to show up with some lye and a shovel? Click. And you trusted that person enough that you would show up with lye and a shovel. Think about that. That's the level of trust we're talking about. And I don't think we understand what that means anymore. Or how about this? An attack on one member of the tribe, attack on one member of your family, is an attack personally on you. And you react that way. Or how about, would you actually trust, and we all have one family member that's going to appear in our minds right now, would you actually trust a family member or one of your close circle of friends with your life? With your life. How about, would any of those people help you to resist tyranny? The government comes down. Nope. So-and-so agent in the government uses government to come down and says, we're going to take your guns, or we're going to indoctrinate your kids, or we're going to force your kids to have vaccinations, or we're going to kick your kids out of school because they wouldn't get vaccinations, or we're going to come down and try to seize your farm because we believe that you violated some obscure environmental rule. Would those people stand with you on the front porch, locked and loaded, and say, I think you got the wrong house? I'm serious. We need to ask these questions. Because you know what? Christians used to ask these questions. In Ukraine, they called it Pavlik Morozov. It was actually an imaginary made-up kid who had turned his parents in for hoarding food. And they would scare everybody by saying, you know, Pavlik Morozov, that's who you need to be. You need to be Pavlik Morozov. And he would scare everybody because everybody thought everybody else was Pavlik Morozov. We don't get the idea that if we're in a situation that we have that kind of trust with our friends and our neighbors, that it doesn't matter what decree comes out of Washington, D.C. from some obscure bureaucrat. It doesn't matter what decree or rule comes out of Olympia, that doesn't matter to us. What matters to us is our culture and our heritage and our Christian principles and our love and our trust for kith and kin. For most of my adult life, I stood on and looked over barbed wire, ruined and desolate landscapes and very unpronounceable places. And I looked at burned and shattered homes, and I asked myself, why? Why did we fight? Why was there so much blood and heartache over there? And I came down to this. We didn't fight for politicians or generals in D.C. or something. We fought for each other. We fought for our families, just like Scripture said, our families, our friends, and our homes. So when will it be time to fight? When we have nothing left? Trump can't do it on his own. Will it be time to fight when our businesses are in ruins? We won't have the resources to fight back. Be time to fight when our children sit stupefied in rags, receiving every necessity from the capricious hand of a bureaucrat? We'll have lost a generation. We're Americans. We are Americans. We are Christians. Why do we act defeated? We are Americans. We never turn from a fight. We never back down. We stand up and we say, no, we are going to charge forward. Now is the time to fight. It was a dedicated group of Christians that educated the founding generation. It was a dedicated group of patriots that brought us liberty in the 1770s. It was a dedicated, very dedicated group of patriots that defeated the National Socialists in 1940 and 45. It was a dedicated group of Christians that educated the church about communism, and it was a dedicated group of patriots to stop communism in the 1980s. It was a dedicated group of patriots and Christians who educated people on life and the right to self-defense and began winning. And it was a dedicated group of Christians that are now educating the lukewarm, non-spirit-filled church. And it will be a dedicated group of Christians that make America great again. I believe it. You're not too old. You're not too young. You're an American. And I want to have a message to all the folks that would consider themselves old out there. I'm not going to identify you. Okay? Yeah, you're welcome. I think some folks say, hey, what do I have to offer? I want to tell you the story about Samuel Whitmore and end with this. He was a 78-year-old farmer during the Revolutionary War. Okay? Samuel Whitmore, though, started his fight against tyranny years before. In fact, and ironically I found this out, he was sued for defamation in 1738 because he went after an officer of the crown. 1738, he went after an officer of the crown. Then in 1766, he became a committee man for Cambridge. Then on April 19th, 1776, when the British ran into a colonial militia ambush and started retreating, Samuel Whitmore, 78-year-old farmer, got his musket out and hid and ambushed them as they were retreating. And he killed a bunch. But then they found him. I want to read this to you. They shot him in the face. They clubbed him. They bayoneted him 6 times and left him for dead. And that tough old bird lived to 96 years old. That's what it means to be an old American, all right? Now for you young folks, I'm going to say 3 things. First of all, Psalms, it talks about who you hang out with is who you will end up being. I'm paraphrasing. Wise counsel. Second thing, your generation needs to make sure it's humble. And third, be excited. Be really excited because you're the refounding generation. What a mantle has been bestowed on you. So it doesn't matter if you're young or old. Just be an American. Be a Christian. Walk in truth in the Spirit. Know your enemy. Know yourself. Know the terrain. Be bold and courageous. Raise the standard of freedom. Keep going out there to raise the standard of freedom. Walk in victory because we have won. Amen. We just need to implement it right here. And we're going to find out how a little bit tomorrow with the 51st state. But I want to end with this. I've asked before, how many of you will change the world? Raise your hand. It should be every person in this room. If you believe the God of the universe is working inside you, That means anything can be done through you, and He wants to do anything through you and everything through you. Man, praise God we're here in Marble, Washington today to know that the God of the universe knew we would be meeting right now to talk about freedom and liberty, and not just to talk about freedom and liberty and go home and then not do anything, but to leave here learning what we've learned over the weekend, to walk in the Spirit and truth, to build our tribe, and to bless God by keeping America free. Thank you, guys. God bless you.